Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. We need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and, well, this evening, the views of Colonel Daniel Marvin. So, Colonel Marvin, are you there?
I am here, and I'm blessed to be here.
All right, fine. Will you hang on there for just a minute? We'll be right with you.
Okay.
But let's talk a little bit about why we had Colonel Marvin on. You know, it's very, very difficult for the average individual to believe that the media in America is controlled, but it really is. And there is the most amazing story, the true story of the assassination of Martin Luther King, that few Americans have ever been allowed to hear. Now, I'm going to let Colonel Marvin tell you this story. Colonel Marvin certainly had a great deal of association with the military. He was a Green Beret. He was trained at a school for assassins for the CIA. Had an opportunity of meeting a number of very, very important people through the years. Colonel, could you tell us the story of what happened?
About
the murder of Martin Luther King and the true story of what really happened.
Well, actually, I first learned of the start of the truth of it when I sent a book called Orders to Kill by William Pepper. I understand you've had him on your program.
Well, we're going to have him on in about a week.
Ah. Well, by the way, will you have Jim Douglas on?
No, I'd love to have him on, and I'll get his number from you later. What part does Jim Douglas play in the story?
Well, Jim was there every minute of that trial out in Memphis where they found our government 70% complicit in the murder of Dr. King.
And, of course, this was a trial that was actually brought about by the King family to try to get the truth. And
right.
Tragically, the American people were never allowed to find out what was actually discovered at that trial. The Americans get all sorts of foolish and unimportant information on the news. And, of course, the people who control our news will focus our attention on this issue, O.J. Simpson, or doesn't really matter what it is. They'll always find an issue to keep our attention focused on. So we will not see the truth or understand the truth of what's happening. So tell us what the background of this trial was and why it was so important and why it was actively suppressed by the controlled media in the United States.
Of course, the problem with Dr. King is he was disrupting our government's apparatus, basically, and demanding the rights of the black people of this nation. He was a very courageous man. You know, whether or not a person agrees with some of his philosophies or personal matters, he was a very courageous man. Any man that would lead a group of people unarmed against armed police officers trying to stop them and that are beating them in the streets has got to be a brave man. Anyway, I got this book, Orders to Kill. A friend of mine sent it to me, and I never tied in something that I was involved in Thailand in 1967 with the death of Dr. King until I read that book. And in there, he tells about General Yarbrough, who was former commander of all Green Berets, all Special Forces, as a deputy chief of staff for intelligence of the United States Army, actually setting the program up that resulted in the death of Martin Luther King.
You hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment.
Certainly.
You go right ahead and tell the story then.
Okay. And he had ordered two A-teams, Special Forces A-teams, up out of the National Guard, and their assignment was to tail Martin Luther King, to keep track of exactly where he was at all times during that time leading up to the day that he was to be killed. And in fact, they had the reason for the title, Orders to Kill. These men, and two of these men, by the way, spoke directly with William Pepper, who wrote the book. And they're in hiding, and to the best of my knowledge, they're still in hiding in South America because they're afraid of what the CIA or the Special Forces will do to them if they find them.
Now, are these just regular members of the military, or were they members of Special Forces like you were?
Oh, these are Special Forces. They were part of the two A-teams, Special Forces A-teams that were called up to follow Martin Luther King and to be there at that motel site the day that he was shot. And if the shooter missed, they had orders to kill Martin Luther King.
Well, now, of course, did these two members of the Special Forces eventually come forward, or how do we know about them?
Well, William Pepper is the one that they brought the information forward to him.
I see, okay.
And he's got it in the book, Orders to Kill, and is also all that information went before the Memphis jury, and that's why James Douglas is important to this thing, too. Because he can explain, as he did to me, that the first day of the trial, there were representatives there from the major media. And before the day was out, they were no longer there. They were kind of like called out to the hallway and never came back.
All right.
Now, that's the way I remember him telling me. But he can tell you, you know, directly from the horse's mouth, so to speak. But when I read the book, Orders to Kill, and told about General Yarborough, I thought, well, praise the Lord, General Yarborough has had the courage to come forward and give this information to William Pepper. So I called General Yarborough, thinking that was the truth. And boy, he let me know real quick that he had nothing to do with William Pepper, that the book was a lie, and that he wouldn't condone anything like that. So while I had him on the phone, I actually maneuvered General Yarborough to the extent that he admitted, and I was taping this, audio taping this, he admitted that there were CIA advisors, he called them, teaching.
Hold that thought, we'll be right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Colonel Marvin was saying off the air that really the background of the trial that was brought by the King family against the government was based upon the testimony of two Special Forces agents, Special Forces members, who had actually been ordered to be part of the two Special Forces teams that were to track all of the activities of Martin Luther King prior to his assassination. In other words, here were members of the Special Forces tracking Martin Luther King, getting the information on him, and of course there were these two Special Forces teams that were there at the time of the assassination, and if the assassination attempt failed, they were assigned to kill him. Is that correct?
That is correct. They had orders to kill. That's where the title from his book came from.
And, of course, the thing is that these Special Forces people are now hiding in South America. They've been hiding for, what, over 20 years, close to 30 years now?
I'm not certain of that, how long they've been hiding, because I don't know when it was they came out with the truth. I would say it was around 1990.
All right, fine. So, anyway, hiding for fear of their lives in South America because they fear that the Central Intelligence Agency or other assassins will kill them because they came forward and told the truth. And you have to understand, ladies and gentlemen, we live in a world where if you tell the truth and you know something important like what really happened at the time of the murder of John Fitzgerald Kennedy or what really happened at the time of the murder of Bobby Kennedy, or what happened at the time of the murder of Martin Luther King by our own government, agencies of our government. If you come forward and tell that, your life is in danger. And so at least, as far as Colonel Marvin knows, why these members of Special Forces who came forward and told the truth have gone into hiding. Would that be a fair statement?
That's a very fair statement, and I assume that they are not Christians. That they're not born-again Christians, because the day that I was led to the Lord by my daughter is the day that I no longer feared any of that. Because I knew in my heart the Lord would protect me, and I wasn't worried about the government sending somebody like me. I was an assassin working for the Special Forces, as a Green Beret, and I didn't worry anymore after that day about them sending somebody to kill me, because the Lord would protect me, because he wanted me to get this truth out. That's why I state that right in my book, Expendable Elite, that that's the day that I started writing that book, was the day that I got saved. Now, another thing that's in William Pepper's book that he brought out is that they being our government, was infiltrating the Black Power movement, the Black Panthers and organizations like that, so they could get close to what all was going on within the black community. And when I got into Thailand in September of 1967, I stopped gun running that was going on. And what I didn't know at the time, it was all tied in with the Martin Luther King assassination. In fact, I provided William Pepper with the inch-thick FBI report and CID investigation of that gun running that I stopped. What had happened, Dr. Stan, is the special forces in Vietnam captured back from the enemy weapons that the enemy had captured from our units, all American weapons, including M1D sniper rifles. That's as good a sniper rifle as you can get. And the box of weapons that I personally stopped from being shipped by U.S. mail to Detroit to go to the Black Panthers was an M1D sniper rifle with scope and everything else. They were sent from where they captured them in Vietnam to Thailand to a Captain Butler in Thailand, who was a special forces officer, a black officer, and he shipped them by mail, a total, according to my executive officer over there, Captain Peter F. Crummy. He shipped over 120 weapons by U.S. mail to Detroit, Michigan, his home, and he was part of he claimed to be one of the Black Panthers.
No, he really wasn't. He was acting as sort of an agent provocateur, do you think?
Yes. I think he was working for our government,
right,
just as a part of this whole plan. The commanding officer of all the Green Berets in Thailand, who this Captain Butler worked for, when I reported this to him, this gun running, he refused to do anything about it. And the interesting thing was, he wore infantry brass on his uniform, and it turns out that he's an intelligence officer, which tied right in with the fact that General Yarborough, the Assistant Chief of Staff for Intelligence for the entire United States Army, would be working with Colonel Bartelt, for Colonel Bartelt to do his end, which was the gun running through Captain Butler. There's an awful lot of strange things that have to be put together in order to be able to kill somebody as important as Martin Luther King or John F. Kennedy, Robert F. Kennedy. I mean, our military is involved in all of those one way or another. I just happened to be personally... have been personally involved in the gun running, stopping it, and I was personally involved when I was asked to actually kill the Navy officer that had taken the actual autopsy photos from a remote control camera of the Kennedy autopsy, which proved beyond a doubt that the Warren Commission was a false report. So there's those of us that know these things, and when I came forward, my whole family was worried about me. You know, just the same as you said, these guys went to South America because they don't want to die. Well, I never worried about that because I knew the Lord would protect me. And you know, Doctor, as well as I do, that if he wants you protected, he'll protect you.
And, of course, after you wrote your book, Expendable Elite, that went into the fact that you'd been asked to kill Prince Sihanouk of Cambodia, and, of course, the fact that the CIA had sent a regiment of men to kill you and your men. And the fact that it's so difficult for the average American to believe that a CIA would order the murder of American military officers who were just trying to do the right thing. But unfortunately, this is the way the world really works. And Colonel Marvin's a very courageous man. If you haven't read his book, The Expendable Elite, The Expendable Elite, we carry it And, of course, I believe that God is protecting Kurt and Marvin, just as I believe he protects me, because, of course,
Amen.
The material we put out over the airways certainly would get most people assassinated, and for whatever reason, why God has protected us and keeping us going. And
you know,
has given us
only,
a voice.
There's only a few people like you, Dr. Stan, and the people that work with you on your program and on other programs who are willing to sacrifice their own lives to be a part of getting the truth out to the American people. And unfortunately, there's not enough of the American people that believe it, because the major news media is owned or controlled by the same people that are involved in all these things.
Well, let's get back to the assassination of Martin Luther King, and what do we really know about this? What was brought out at the trial?
Now, that Jim Douglas is going to have to be the man to answer that, or William Pepper, because I was not at the trial, of course. But what they did bring out without any hesitation at all was the fact that the government, different people within the government, were involved in the planning and the execution of the murder of Martin Luther King. It's all spelled out very well in his book, Orders to Kill. Plus, he wrote another one, An Act of State, which was written after the Memphis trial, which got the information in there that supports why the jury came to that verdict, a unanimous verdict, that our government was complicit in the murder of Martin Luther King Jr. You know, I sent that information out to all the major media after I learned about it. Not a one of them did a thing about it. Not a one of them even responded, except for Cynthia Tucker, who wrote back and just pushed it all aside like it was just the black people trying to get publicity. And she is black. But she did not want to lend her name to the truth about Martin Luther King's death.
Well, no, wasn't there some fellow who ran a restaurant across the street who had been implicated in being the actual trigger man?
I'm not sure of that. My main interest was the gun running.
All right, fine. And, certainly
and the use of special forces operatives who were actually called up from reserve units, brought to active duty out of the 20th, I think it is, the 20th Special Forces, brought to active duty and used in that role to monitor Dr. King's movement 24 hours a day until he was killed by somebody that our government sent there to do it.
But what about James Earl Ray? Most Americans believe that James Earl Ray was the assassin.
I understand that. And I wish I could get into those kind of things, but I very honestly can't, Doctor. And you know how fussy I am about only reporting on things that I was either personally involved or I know of without any hesitation. When I went to trial down in South Carolina about my book, my whole family was just worried sick that they had the cards all stacked against us, the special forces. In fact, when the first day of the trial down there, their lead attorney looked over to his son and said, I didn't think Marvin would show up. Are we going into a break?
We're going into a break. Well, for our listeners, of course, Colonel Marvin had written the book, Expendable Elite. We had told about being the commission to assassinate the CNF of Cambodia, and had a lot of other amazing information. And, of course, this had to be silenced, he was told, not to publish a book. When he did, he was sued and told that they'd drop the suit if he simply said it was all fiction, and he wouldn't do
that.
Right. And so the Special Forces, or somebody working with Special Forces, financed a lawsuit against him in an effort to destroy his career, but, of course, they failed. And we'll tell you more about that later.